Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 87. It's a Monday, March 19th, 2018. I am Nard.
And this is Ray.
Welcome everyone to Gay Geek Bizarre, where we talk about gay stories, geek topics, and bizarre news. Ray! So, something sad really happened during the week since our last episode.
Yep. We had to say goodbye to Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, that's right. He died at 76. He's been suffering with ALS for so many years, and it's really surprising that he survived for so many years. And
well, yeah, that's what they're saying, that somebody with ALS usually doesn't live near that long.
Yeah. He's one of the most brilliant minds, one of the most brilliant of minds in the world. And, you know, he's really, it's really sad that, you know, I guess he was going on borrowed time, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, so one of the most brilliant minds in the world, and he was in Star Trek. He was in What else?
Did you hear the story about when he was on Star Trek?
Oh, what was the story?
He was rolling around the set, the Star Trek set, and he rolled by the engine room. He looked at it, and then told everybody, "said I'm working on that."
Oh, that's cool.
So,
the engine room. It's pretty awesome. Anyways,
warp power, warp drive.
Yeah. So anyway, bon voyage.
What'd you do this Stephen weekend, Hawking. Maynard?
Oh yeah, I had softball and we lost all our games. So we played at the Lone Star Classic softball tournament here in Houston. Yeah, it's but lots of Bears though. Good Lord, from Austin, from Dallas, there's lots of
pixelation.
That's right. So yeah, we just we played games, but we didn't win any games. But it was fun. We had fun.
And I heard you got my coworker out.
Yeah, that's right. I got him on second base. That's right.
Yeah, because he usually always goes to third, goes to home base all the time.
So. All the time. I see.
All the time. Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, it was fun, and then. What else did I do? Oh, yeah, I met up with you guys. We met up with you, Ray, at the mall, of all places, to the mall. We hung out at the Barnes & Noble.
We were visiting parts of Humble, and we said, hey, come meet us at the mall, because you said you'd lost all your games. So we went to the Barnes & Noble, and then we walked around, grabbed some lunch, went to Think Geek, went to GameStop.
Oh, do you know the mugs that we got? We got $4 mugs. $3 mugs, is it? It's K2SO.
K2SO, yeah.
Yeah,
I couldn't remember what his number was yesterday because I was just kind of tired and brain dead.
Yeah, K2SO, K-2SO, 2SEO, something like that. But then for sure, it's called K2SO. Yeah, anyway, so it's a big mug. I tried it today. Did you ever try it at work?
No, because it's probably too big to take to work. It's probably just going to sit up on the shelf and collect dust and look at me.
I used it, and oh my God, it's really big. And then it's really.
That's what she said.
Yeah, it's really thick.
That's what he said.
Yeah. And it can hold a lot of liquid. So anyway, I think you're right. It's not. I tried it out, and it's not really that much work appropriate. I'll probably bring it home. Okay. Anyway, so that's pretty much it. Oh wait, I had dinner with
straight people.
So yeah, it's actually a couple of friends of Matt and I don't know. I'm not used to hanging out with a lot of straight people. I need to hang out more with.
I know you feel
people.
Weird, don't you?
Yeah, it feels weird because I'm so used.
You can't
to
talk about RuPaul and who's sleeping with who.
Yeah, you can't talk about those. And then there are so many children. There are about 20 children there, I guess.
Yeah, who had to go have a prolapse, all that kind of stuff. It's just totally lost out.
Yeah, it's just really sad. I couldn't talk anything not safe for work. But anyway, so how about you, Ray? What did you do?
Well, I went and saw this movie that came out this weekend called Love, Simon. It is the first gay romantic comedy that has been released as a regular movie nationwide. And in the rankings, it come in number 5. Now, number 1 was still Black Panther.
Oh, still.
I think it was, yeah. And then second was Lara Croft. I think third was A Wrinkle in Time.
Oh, I didn't know that was out already. I thought that's going to be out in April.
It came out a week before last. And I can't remember what the fourth one was, but it was number 5. So it actually did pretty good. And we went and saw it during the day at like a 150 showing, and it was actually, the movie theater was pretty packed.
No.
So, yes. But Love, Simon is a very cute movie. I highly recommend you go see it. Support gay stuff. The same guy that directed this movie, Greg Bertinetti, also does all the CW Warner Brothers shows, like The Arrow, The Flash.
Oh, okay.
Legends of Tomorrow, Black Lightning. He's in charge of all that. So, but our friend Jeremy posted this on Facebook today, so I copied it and I said, look, I'm still on this for our show tonight.
All right.
And this is his thought about Love, Simon. And these are his words. So in Love, Simon has both George Lindenborg Jr. and Alexandria Shipp as high schoolers, and was produced by Fox 2000 Pictures, a division of 20th Century Fox. George was also in Spider-Man Homecoming. And, Alec Maynard, are you okay?
Yeah, keep going.
Well, I can't, because you're whatever you're beating on is echoing in my ears.
Oh, sorry. Keep going.
Okay. All right. So, High Schoolers was produced by Fox 2000 Pictures, a division of 20th Century Fox. George was also in Spider-Man Homecoming. And Alexandria was Storm in the X-Men Apocalypse. So you got all that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Therefore, Love, Simon is the start of the combined Marvel Cinematic Universe, MCU, and the Fox X-Men Cinematic Universe.
Ah, okay. Which so I don't think it works. I don't think it works that way, though. But
I don't know. I think he's got something here. Uh-huh. I think he's got something here. So
we'll see. It's interesting, though.
Yeah, it was very interesting that when he posted that, because he's like, two of the characters were already in a Marvel Cinematic Universe. So,
right.
So it'd be interesting to see what happens from that.
Okay.
And then also we went Saturday night out to the bars and Tamo drank green beer. Oh. I had my typical screwdriver, so.
Oh, okay. How, was it crowded? The bars?
The Eagle was busy. We didn't stay there too long. We went to the Rip, hung out, and it was a little bit more low-key, not as packed yet. And we came home a little bit before midnight, and people were just really starting to get there. So I was just like, yeah, the perks of being old, you got to go home early and go to bed.
Yep, that's right. I'm too old for that.
But I hope everybody had a good, I'm very old. So I hope everybody had a great St. Patty's Day and didn't indulge too much and were able to make it all to work on Monday morning.
Yeah,
so.
Did you wear green on when you went
out? I
did
wear green on Saturday, yeah. Of course, I don't want to get pinched. And when I get my DNA results back, it might say I'm part Irish, so you never know.
Oh, okay.
Although some people says I'm, one of our friends thinks I'm German, I'm a spawn of Hitler, but I don't know why he gets that.
I don't know where to get it. Maybe you are. Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, Ray, let's go to our stories now. Let's go to the Gay Geek Bazaar. And so let's go with the gay. Should I take this?
Okay. Yeah, you can take this. And guys, we got several gays this week because there's a bunch of good ones that kind of all tied together. So okay. We're going to go through them, so bear with us. All right, Manor, take the first one.
Okay, so dying man's family told his blood and tissues are too gay for donation. That still happens. Well, yeah, it still happens this day and age. So 24-year-old Corey Etiveno suffered serious brain injury in a car accident last month in New Zealand. After 3 days on life support, his mother, Cherry Etiveno, made the difficult decision to turn the machines off. Etiveno contacted Organ Donation New Zealand to arrange for Corey's heart valves and corneas. Is that right? Corneas. To be donated to someone in need. Instead, she told they couldn't take Corey's heart valves and corneas because of his lifestyle. Etiveno says eventually she said it was because he's a homosexual man. They would not take them because he was a homosexual. I was shocked about it and a little bit angry to start because I couldn't believe that the staff at the hospital would put us through that. Etiveno continues. Corey was a fit, healthy young man, and I thought his heart valves would have been snapped up And it just doesn't make sense. There are people who are suffering out there, and we could have potentially helped them. Organ Donation New Zealand donor coordinator Janice Langlands says the organization considers a range of risk factors when deciding whether to accept donations, including whether or not donors smoked, had tattoos, and their sexual partners. For someone to get HIV or hepatitis B or C from a corneal graft, she says that is something most recipients wouldn't want to get. Despite the fact that the potential donors are tested for infectious diseases, Langlands adds there is still a chance of something going undetected. There are a small number of weeks where a person might have an infection, but it doesn't show in the blood tests. And that's where we have to ask the questions about social lifestyle factors as well. Yeah, for the record, Etevano was not HIV positive. Also, there are no instances of HIV being transferred from a donor to a recipient for more than 30 years. I know Corey would have loved to have helped someone, Etevano says, but some poor family has lost out. So, yeah, these assumptions are still so backward. And, if the guy is HIV negative and they're tested, I don't see why not.
I'm sure if they'd put them on the black market, they'd have got sold. People out there, somebody really desperate.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It doesn't have to go through the... I don't know how that works, though, with corneas and heart valves. Maybe
if people have failing heart, usually it's because one of the heart valves has gone bad. So they either do a full heart transplant or they can do heart valve transplant and replace the valve that's gone bad. So a lot of that can be done now with artificial valves and stuff, but it's still better to do it with real tissue and stuff. So
yeah,
that's my medical opinion because I play a doctor on TV.
So. You're a doctor, love. Wait a second, you just saw that commercial, didn't you? I saw that commercial on with Neil Patrick Harris. Did you?
Yeah,
that's the same.
I'm not a real doctor. I just play a doctor on TV, and I'm very dramatic.
Yeah,
at least Timo would say so.
Yeah, that's right. So. Okay, let's go to the next one.
Next one. Texas newspaper edits son's same-sex marriage out of his mother's obituary. When Brenda Light died last month, her obituary in a small-town Texas newspaper included a wealth of biographical details. But one important family connection was missing, the fact that her son is married to another man. The obituary submitted to the Olson Enterprise included the line that those left to cherish her memory, her son Barry Giles, and his husband John Gamble of Dallas, but there was no mention of Gamble or their union in the published version. It wiped out Don completely out of the picture like he didn't exist, Charles told Fox Local News. It was evident not an oversight on the part of the newspaper, which is based in a town of about 2,200 residents, more than 350 miles northwest of Dallas. The publisher, Philip Hamilton, doubles as a Baptist pastor. He told the station in a statement, "It's my religious conviction that a male cannot have a husband. It is also my belief that to publish anything contrary to God's word on the issue would be to publish something in the newspaper that is not true. The newspaper respects the First Amendment rights of those who express such opinions. The newspaper decision to edit the obituary is both ethical and lawful. It would be unethical to publish a news item that is known by the editors to be false, based on the truth found in the word of God. I could not in good conscience identify Mr. Gamble as the husband of Mr. Giles." Giles and Gamble, a trained funeral director, have been together for 31 years, according to the Dallas Voice, and Light moved from Olton to Dallas after her husband died and lived only a mile from the couple. "We spent holidays together. We did what a normal family would do," Gamble told the Voice. Same-sex marriage was legalized nationwide by the United States Supreme Court in 2015, prompting a backlash from conservatives. The Texas Supreme Court last year declared the landmark ruling does not mean states must also provide the same benefits to all married people. The case rose from conservative activists' attempts to stop Houston from offering spousal benefits to city employees in same-sex marriages. Also in 2017, the Texas legislature passed a so-called religious freedom bill that civil rights groups argued give faith-based adoption agencies the right to discriminate against potential foster and adoptive parents based on their sexuality. There is no state law banning discrimination in the workplace based on sexual orientation.
Yeah, I just saw backward in the... backwards part of Texas. Yeah, it still happens, and it's really sad. You know, I should sue. If that happens to me, I would most definitely sue. Because you know.
Well, the newspaper has the right to print whatever they want.
Yeah. So
whether it's true or not. I mean, Fox News gets away with it all the time, but.
Mm-hmm. It's Fox local news. Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's a, it. Why? Well, I guess there is no choice, or there is. Is there a choice? Yeah. You probably just make use of an online thing, or not even make you use their services. Yeah. How does obituaries work? Is it by the funeral?
I think they're turned into the funeral home, or the family places them in newspapers.
Yeah,
they get turned in. Yeah, so I'm not exactly. I've never had to do one, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and well, I remember. Is that what happened with my friend John, when he passed away? He left Palima. I think his name was there, of course, because.
Yeah.
I mean.
And I think I think now the funeral homes have the way of posting stuff, so they can connect it to regions where people used to live or whatever, so it shows in the paper. So, mm-hmm.
Well, like it's a local paper, so it's a local paper.
Yeah, this was a local paper. Yeah, where his mom lived before she moved to Dallas with them.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here's a third one. Let's go to this one. This one's a little bit better.
Okay. Is that really formatted this way? Okay. Let me take this. So, students rally to defend gay athlete as Westboro Baptist Church plans to picket school. Students at Missouri Prep School say they'll respond to a planned Westboro Baptist Church protest by rallying in support of an openly gay athlete and classmate. Members of the church, which is known for its vehement opposition to LGBTQ rights, have announced plans to picket John Burroughs School in Ladue, Missouri, on Monday, March 12th, and it's last week when we started this week. So, 24
press. 24th press release.
Okay. A lot of text came out as of February 24th press release on the church's website, pointed to a smirking, proud fag child attending the private non-sectarian prep school as the impetus for their protest. This beast is vaunted as the best thing that has happened to football since Newt Rockne, the press release reads. In fact, in the wake of this football playing fag phenomenon, Newt is just a proverbial water boy. One of John Burroughs' star football player Jake Bain made headlines in October when he came out as gay in a speech delivered at a school assembly. Since then, the senior has announced plans to attend Indiana State University next fall on a football scholarship. My main reason for coming out was not necessarily for me, he told local NBC affiliate KSDK in December. For me, it was to try and reach out to people who aren't comfortable coming out. I feel like, especially within athletics, there's a stigma. I don't think being an athlete and gay really collide. The school's headmaster, Andy Abbott, told Fox 2 Now that more than 200 John Burroughs students expressed an interest last week in staging a counter-protest of their own in response to Westboro's targeting of their classmate. They've since planned to gather for an on-campus 40-minute display of support for the LGBTQ community at the same time Westboro members make their appearance, which will be allowed by a unity walk and a celebratory music-filled assembly. Abbott explained students' plans for counter-protest in a March 8 letter sent home to parents. In our society, there is always room for respectful differences of opinion, but WBC is nothing more than a hate group. He wrote in the letter, which can be viewed on Fox 2 Now, St. Louis website. It maintains that God is punishing America because of its tolerance of the LGBTQ plus community. What's plus?
You know what? You're saying they got left out.
Oh, okay. Their modus operandi is to carry inflammatory signs to incite reactions from those they picket. What we will remember is that our students responded with unity and care and courage. But continued. Meanwhile, members of the local LGBTQ advocacy group Pride St. Louis have said they will be present at John Burroughs' school during Monday's counter-protest. They have launched a social media campaign using the hashtag #StandWithJake. Hashtag #StandWithJake, yeah, in support of their classmates. So,
yeah. So somebody you interviewed, Brian Sims, the super hot Democrat.
Oh, Brian Sims.
Responded to that. Stay strong, Jake. If your faith tells you to attack and protest a kid for living an honest life and to attack his friends, neighbors, and supporters for sticking up for him, then your faith is crap and you are a broken human being. This beast is vaunted as the best thing that has happened to football since
Newt Rockne.
The press release reads, in fact, in the wake of this football playing fag phenomenon, Newt is just a proverbial water boy. So thanks, Brian Sims, for standing up to him.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So Brian Sims, we interviewed him on a Bear podcast many years ago.
Yeah.
I had him in the show. It's really hot. It's really a hot Pennsylvania. Is it Pennsylvania?
I think it's Pennsylvania.
Representative. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, so it's really sad that Westboro Church is still doing this. I mean, I guess.
Yeah. Well, they're never going to stop. There's always hate everywhere.
They're not going to
beat
stop.
Hate, but you got to beat hate with love.
That's right.
Or a baseball bat. I'm not saying go beat somebody with a baseball bat, but sometimes that's all you can do.
Yeah, that's right. All right, let's go to the geek ring.
Okay, I'll take this. Now, this has been for a couple articles that we posted. And we posted the one about the DNA being different, and then it got, because there was taken out of context at the news press conference, and this is a response to that saying, well, maybe that's not exactly right. So anyway, astronaut Scott Kelly's DNA did not change in space the way you think. It seems like pure science fiction. NASA astronaut Scott Kelly goes to space for nearly a year, comes back, and suddenly has turned into a mutant with different DNA from his twin. As Newsweek wrote in its DNA changed in space, except that's not what happened. The saga began last week with a Newsweek story covering a January NASA press release with the following paragraph. Another interesting finding concerned what some call the space gene, which is alluded to in 2017. Researchers now know that 93% of Scott's genes returned to normal after landing. However, the remaining 7% point to longer possible term changes in genes related to his immune system, DNA repair, bone formation, networks, hypoxia, and hypercapnia. Kelly himself tweeted the story with a joke. I just learned about it in this article. This could be good news. I no longer have to call Shuttle CDR Kelly my identical twin brother anymore, referring to his twin astronaut brother, Mark Kelly. CNN picked up the story, and as now news outlets across the country have since claimed that the 7% of Kelly's DNA has changed in space. Except if 7% of Scott Kelly's DNA had actually changed, he would be a completely different species. Humans and chimps, for example, share 96% of the same DNA, a 4% difference. There's only 4% that separates us from the apes, Maynard. And you know what that 4% is?
What?
The ability to accessorize.
Yes.
What really happened is that 7% of the way Kelly's DNA is expressed changed after space travel. As Daniela Bezidan, research director at the Mason Laboratory in Integrative Genomics at Weill Cornell Medicine, explained in a tweet and confirmed in an email to Gizmodo. This further confirmed is an explanation and statement from Chris Mason, who writes that while there were some mutations in both twins' DNA after space flight, although 93% of the gene's expression returned to normal post-flight, a subset of several hundred space genes were still disrupted after the return to Earth. Emphasis mine. The kind of change is what known as epigenetic, and it's something very different. Space might affect methylation, for example, the act by which chemistry flips DNA sequences on and off, making them readable or unreadable by the rest of the cell. If it says, it's as if DNA were an encyclopedia with some sentences covered with black tape, making them unreadable. The trip to space could have switched some of the tape around, but the words are exactly the same. None of the principal investigation of NASA twin study could comment on this story's science. Nothing they had planned to meet later today in order to decide the best strategy to set the record straight. So he's not a mutant.
It's not mutant. He doesn't have powers.
He doesn't have superpowers as far as we know yet.
Yeah.
But when he starts turning green and grows a third leg, well, that might be a different story.
Ooh, so, I like that genetic mutation.
That's not the third leg you're wanting, Maynard.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, it's interesting. So. All right, so going to space. Again, Ray, it's about going to space.
Well, the longer we stay up there, the more we learn what it does. And we've always known that it affects genetics, the DNA, because of the cosmic radiation. And even though they shield from it, because of the lack of gravity and the cosmic radiation, everything else they're exposed to up there, things change.
Yeah, zero gravity has a lot of effect, especially with bones.
Yeah, because I mean, it affects the body, the bones, everything. But the cosmic radiation, which is how the Fantastic Four got their powers, because it mutated them.
Yeah, that's right.
Less than 2%.
I'd be like, I'd like to be like the Human Torch, so I'll be flaming.
Well, girl, you're already that.
Okay, let's go to the next story. This is geek still, right? Because it's about a website. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
So this handy website shows the best spots to have sex in public. I don't know how I'm going to cut this. Oh, okay. So MissPicaderos.com offers more than 12,000 user-reviewed places for couples to bone outside the comforts of their home. So this originally appeared on Vice Spain. In Spain, a picadero is any public place a couple goes to have sex. Oh, really? Okay. Either because they can't get the privacy they need at home, or because they're looking for a change of scenery to liven up their sex lives. Thanks to Spanish web designer, the search for a nice place to fornicate in peace has never been easier. In 2009, Josean, 43, I guess it's Josean. Josean, 43.
Josean.
Yeah.
Josean.
Launched the website Miss Picaderos to help Spanish couples find picaderos by encouraging people to share their favorite spots and rate them. Wow, it's a Yelp for sex places. It's a Yelp for places to fornicate. Since then, well, not necessarily in public, just places to fornicate. Oh, it is public. It is public space. Since then, he has collated around 12,000 picaderos across Spain, allowing users to search by location, sexual orientation, privacy, mode of transport to the area, and whether the spot can accommodate up to 20 people, as in case you want to have an orgy somewhere.
Yeah.
So the site offers all kinds of options, from picturesque, secluded parking lots and roadside B&Bs to shopping center bathrooms and cheap hotels that organize sex parties. After requesting, you can use a pseudonym.
So where are you going on vacation this summer?
I'm going to Spain.
Oh,
I have to check out the Miss Picaderos website. Oh my goodness, that's right, Miss Picaderos.
We want a full report when you return.
Yeah, let's see. We'll see where people. So if this is a website that's already posted a lot of places, you think the cops are on it? And
I don't know. I mean, it all depends on if the cops really care that much about it. So
I know. Yeah. So it's kind of
maybe when you check in on the website, it'll tell you, hey, cops often bust this side or whatever, maybe to give you more information like that. So you'll have to check in and see what's going on.
Oh, I looked at the website. It's all in Spanish, so how do I change this to English? Maybe there's a translate.
There's not a Google Translate that pops up for you on Google. It'll translate it for you, honey.
Ah, maybe we can do it this way. Let's see. Translate, please. Translate. Translating. Find thousands of intimate places to make love on the map. Interesting, Miss Picaderos. Wow, this is interesting.
So it gives you some step time to plan. Follow me.
All right.
That's why I put this in here, because of you. It's all about you, baby.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Okay. Wow. Okay, so it even detects your location, which is great.
Oh, does it have places in the U.S.?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it does, but I'll probably check it out. I'll go to MissPicaderos.com.
Okay.
All right, let's go to the bizarre.
Okay, here we go with the bizarre this week. Science teacher feeds puppy to a turtle after school in front of students. Investigation underway.
This would be a very small turtle.
And this was updated Tuesday at 4 p.m. Community stands by science teacher as prosecutor asks for patience. Preston, a junior high school teacher, is under investigation after he fed a puppy to a snapping turtle in front of students, according to a law enforcement source familiar with the situation. Robert Crosland has taught science at Preston Junior High School for years. In a news release, Preston School District 201 Superintendent Mark G. says his administration became aware of the regrettable circumstance involving some of the biological specimens on March 7th. The event occurred well after students had been dismissed and was not part of any school-directed program, G. said in a news release. We emphasized that at no time was the safety of the students or staff compromised. It is unclear if the dog was alive or dead when Crossland fed it to the turtle, and although it happened after school hours, some students did witness the feeding. Excuse me. Administrators began investigating the incident immediately, according to G, and Franklin County Sheriff's Office was contacted. Crossland has not been cited or charged and has not been placed on leave, G said. A part of any investigation includes determining the best source of action once the facts of the matter have been ascertained. This is not a situation that is easy, nor do we feel it is a measure that can be taken lightly, G said. Crossland is a popular teacher who has exotic snakes and other animals in tanks around his classroom, according to multiple parents and students who contacted IdahoNews.com. Three former students who asked not to be named said they recall Crossland feeding guinea pigs to snakes and snapping turtles during classroom demonstrations. He is a cool teacher who really brought science to life, a former student says. I loved his class because he had turtles and snakes and other cool things. G says the district is taking steps to ensure this type of action cannot be repeated and asks for patience while the investigation commences. While the district certainly does not condone individual actions that may violate district policy or reasonable explanations of behavior, we hope that any errors in judgment may be made by a teacher in this instance will not cause us to forget the years of care, effort, and passion the teacher has given to students at Preston School District, G says.
Okay, so actually, there's a later update on this one because I was also listening to Distorted View and they covered this also. They talked about the teacher feeding the dog to the turtle.
So and is the dog alive?
Actually, the dog is dying. It has actually has cancer. That's the story. That's the update actually on the story.
Yeah.
He did it. I know. I think the teacher was thinking that the dog is gonna die anyway. And, you know, it's going to die soon, then just feed it to the turtle. It's kind of morbid, but that's yeah.
Yeah, but did he, like, put the dog down before he fed it to the turtle?
And all right, but...
Or he just feed it to him live. I mean, yeah, he's eaten alive.
Yeah, probably being eaten alive. Regardless, if it's being eaten, it's still alive. I mean, if the dog is still alive, it would feel the pain.
I mean, I can understand him feeding mice to snakes and stuff because you can go buy those in the store and that's usually what you feed if you have pet snakes.
Yeah.
So, that's true. And I can understand that if the dog was going to die, it was a good way to dispose of the dog and feed animals at the same time. But I hope the dog had been put down.
Yeah, that's
right. So he didn't feel the pain of being eaten by some big old ass turtle. Snapping turtle.
Snapping turtle.
Because you know what happens when a snapping turtle grabs a hold to you? It don't let go until the lightning strikes.
Oh, really? Have you been snapped before by a snapping turtle?
No, I don't pull my wee-wee out for snapping turtles to get to it.
Oh, okay. Why do you even put your wee-wee out? And how old are you? Are you 12 years old to call it wee-wee?
So, moving on, this next one is all about you, Maynard.
All right. What do you mean? Just because Luigi has a 3.7-inch dick?
Okay.
Flaccid, that's right. That means he could be a 5 or 6 incher if that's the case. Or no, it could be even longer, possibly. So Luigi definitely has a dick, and it's 3.7 inches flaccid. Artists toil away at their creations, but at a certain point, they must let them go out into the world, after which they cannot control how an audience receives and transforms their work. Case in point, the family-friendly video game magnates at Nintendo, who increasingly must deal with the fact that the people who play their robustly designed flagship Mario games are extremely curious about their characters' genitalia. Really? When you play a game, you're actually thinking of the crotch of their... Good Lord. Just last year at the promotional run-up at the delightful Super Mario Odyssey, an image was released revealing the exact shape and location of Mario's pert nipples.
It must have been chilly in the game.
Yeah. This raised a whole host of questions about the physiology of humanoids within the Mushroom Kingdom, some of which were answered by the unveiling of an official Mario comic from late 80s, which confirmed with finality that, yep, Mario has a penis. And Nintendo, probably sort of exhausted, but mostly unfazed by all this shit. Who wrote this? Why do you have shit in the article? AV Club? Is that even a reputable site? Where were we? Oh, I lost my train of thought here. Yeah, so just continually steadily at their work. Now, in the run-up to the new title Mario Tennis Aces, they have released some screens of the characters in their new athleisure. It's short for athlete leisure, I guess. Get-ups. Yeah. And the breathable mesh tennis shorts reveal conclusively that Luigi, too, has a dick. But Nintendo intentionally designed this. It appears so. Previous characters' models featured decidedly unforthcoming, smoothed over groin regions, but not Aces Luigi, whose oblong bulge appears to suggest that in this stage of graphical high fidelity, we must acknowledge the presence of the character's dick. And while there are a lot of obsessive and semi-ironic jokes about this long-awaited reveal on Twitter, the real work is, of course, being done on Tumblr. Of course, on Tumblr. It's all over Tumblr. Where some advanced analysis has revealed the exact measurements of Luigi's member. So, the piece of character art which inspired all this analysis appears to have been removed from Nintendo's press site. Suggesting that they did not exactly expect this reception. The screenshot,
you'll see the picture. You'll see all diagrammed out.
Yeah, it's still available. Yeah, the screenshot is still available. However, and still absolutely suggests a 3.7-inch or so penis. Could there could be a cover report? Will they modify the model in light of this sensation? Find out what happened to Luigi's dick when Mario Tennis arrives. Mario Tennis Aces arrives on June 22nd. So, the artwork that you have here, Ray, it's I'm bothered that they had to draw on it to emphasize it, but I would prefer to see it myself.
There are other pictures in the article. So, if you go look at the article, which you can find where, Maynard?
Oh, and the Facebook page, facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre.
That's right. You can see all the pictures up close. But I just put this one here because of all the reference. And they were talking measuring stuff, and it shows how it is. But my big question is, does he have a mushroom head?
Maybe it does. I'm trying to look at the pictures right now, and I can't see his penis. Why am I so intrigued by Luigi's penis? That's going to be the title of the show, Luigi's penis. Okay, I guess that's the show.
That's the show.
That's right. So, special thanks to Caesar for the great articles on Facebook. That's facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre. If you want to email us, send your emails to show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327. Tell me what you think about the Marvel Cinematic Universe coming together and Love, Simon.
And tell us about the Luigi's dick.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. And follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And we're on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio. Go to the official website at gaygeekbizarre.com. Thank you everyone for listening, and we'll catch you guys on the next show. Bye.